Good morning. Who here needs some rest? Who here would like a dose of peace? Yeah. If you didn't raise your hands, I know maybe your heart needs a little bit of rest or a little bit of peace. We live in a world that craves peace. It's busy, it's stressful. And unfortunately, Christmas is some of the busiest and most stressful and least peaceful time of the year. This is not how it's intended. This morning, we're going to be talking about peace and how we can engage in the Prince of Peace. But first, let's start off with a poem. I love poetry like all of you do. Every single one of you I know is just deeply passionate about poetry. When we are not ready for Christmas or ready for this story and Christmas are ready for us. This story is about the interruption of the status quo so God's love can flow. Life is so busy. We need it to be interrupted. And even though we aren't ready, even though we are rarely prepared, this story reminds us that God comes anyway. We often find difficulty waiting in his presence. Yet, are we really surprised to discover he is in the most unlikely places, like a barn and a cross, with the most unlikely people, reminding us that he has been here all along. God is always running towards you. Peace is here. This morning, let's remember and reflect on our God, the Prince of Peace. Let's remember the God who was always by our side, never leaving, never forsaking. Let's remember the God of Exodus and exile. Let's remember the God of the mystery and the manger and the cross and the empty tomb. Let's be reminded of the reality of Emmanuel, God with us. God bending downward to be with us, to love us, to suffer with us and for us, to bring peace. This is the Christmas story. Let's be reminded of the God who came to turn sword into plowshare, violence into sacrifice, and pain into peace. Every person, religious or not, is worshiping something to get their worth. Let's worship the Prince of Peace together this Advent. It's getting darker outside. The days are getting shorter. Some of us don't see much daylight when we drive to work in the dark and come home in the dark. It's dark. Maybe this is a metaphor for the world we live in right now. But Advent, Christmas, offers a gleam of light. It's the anticipation of the Prince of Peace. His life and teaching gathered a crowd. His death and resurrection started a movement, but it was his birth that set the stage. That is what we are talking about this morning. In these days of anxiety and grief, I wonder if there is less virtue than we think in being right, and more virtue than we think in the art of living together. I wonder if the enormous divide between us is becoming a void within us. I wonder if loyalty is something that we've forgotten. I wonder if we need more imagination. As this week winds down, we hear the urgent call to remember God's peace, to remember his love and loyalty. Let's continue this Advent season, this Christmas, with renewed peace and determination. That's our goal this morning. That's our objective. We are talking about peace. Everyone do one of these. Peace. Don't do that in other countries. That sign means something else. Every person is looking for peace in their life. Every person is looking for peace. Some people think peace is happiness, or at least the pursuit of happiness. Some people think peace is political freedom bought through military might, violence, and affluence. Others think peace is bought with money. Others yet think peace is power or popularity. So I ask you a question this morning. What is peace? And how do we receive it? What is peace and how do we receive it? What peace do you pursue? World peace, the peace of mind, peace with money, the Prince of Peace. What peace are you pursuing? Richard Rohr says the lowest levels of human consciousness are security and status. Jesus, the Prince of Peace, came to blow the hell out of this world and to bring heaven. Our model of peace is too small. Many of us confuse comfort for peace. Peace is not a utopia manufactured by our comforts. Peace is not our success or the strength we find within. Peace is not dictated or held captive by our abilities or circumstances. The hunt for peace is elusive. Wars for as long as there has been people. The Middle East has been a hotspot for violence since before the time of Abraham, towards the birth of Jesus, and up until this week in Jerusalem. Peace is elusive. But we also struggle for peace in our personal lives, in our minds, and in our hearts. Do you feel alone? Are you anxious? Are you always busy, running and rushing with no rest? Are you addicted? Are you bored? Do you feel doubt, debt, anger, worry, fear, depression? Peace is elusive. I have a marble statue I'd like to show you. It's beautiful, maybe. This is a 3rd century marble statue of the ram bearer, and it was found in Basra, Iraq. Scholars can't decide whether this image of a beardless, short, curly-haired good shepherd portrays Christ, the Son of God, our good shepherd, Savior of the world, or if it portrays Hermes, son of Zeus, savior of commerce. They can't decide. I see a problem here because I think more often than not, we can't decide either in our lives if the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ, is our God and Savior, or if commerce, consumerism, and what we manufacture as comfort is our God. We have the same problem. A professor in Vancouver named Alan Roxburgh puts it this way. In the place of God, the modern West created a new trinity: the state, capitalism, and self. I would propose that for the last 300 or so years, we in the West have invested all our hope in these three things. And we made them the church. This is not the original design. This is the reversal of what was intended by God. We already read Isaiah 9, verse 6. Let's read it again. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Does God hold these names in your heart, in your life, in today, in tomorrow? I know for me many days I have different priorities. I have different idols. The peace that is mentioned here in Isaiah is the word shalom. I'm sure many of you have heard this word for peace, shalom. This means completeness, the unification of body, mind, and soul. The peace God offers is much bigger than the peace we can manufacture on our own. Jesus is the peace of God made manifest. Shalom is the gift of God received through our transformation to be like Christ. Peace is the fruit of right relationship with God. It is only in trusting that Jesus' kingdom is true and relevant in all areas of life that we begin living with peace. Unfortunately, I think this is different than many of us live our lives. It's not easy. C.S. Lewis puts it this way in Mere Christianity: God cannot give us a happiness and a peace apart from himself because it is not there. There is no such thing. Peace is the result, people, of deliberate choices we make to live our lives with God and for God. This is true peace. Peace that transcends all our understanding and transcends our circumstances. This is incredibly liberating. Everybody take a deep breath like this. Peace is bigger than what we can manufacture on our own. That is a load off our shoulders. We are currently unboxing God. Take a moment and take God out of the little peace box that you have. He doesn't fit. His peace doesn't fit. When we surrender, when we choose to follow God in heart, in mind, and in action, we join the story of the peace of God. This will rouse us from our fears and failings, from a deadly boredom, from our loneliness, and from our anxiety. Our lives are like a glass of water. John and I were talking about this summer. Sometimes life just pours more and more water into our glass. So fast, so much water, that we go from hydration to drowning. So much water, so quickly, so fast, so much life that we can't receive and process it. And our lives explode and overflow. This can be painful. Can anyone relate to this type of life explosion, of feelings of drowning, being alone, life spinning out of control? I fear this is all of us too often. I told you guys a story earlier this year about a surgery I had in a hospital stay for my back. And I didn't tell the whole story, as we normally keep certain things close to our chest, but I feel the need to share some more with you. Hopefully it's not a mistake. The trouble with reality is when you stop believing it, it doesn't go away, someone once told me. It's a bummer of advice, but it's true, unfortunately. This summer, was the greatest summer of my life and also by far the most difficult season of my life. My wife and I had our first child, our beautiful daughter. It was perfection. It was amazing. The next day, our baby had to go to the hospital for different treatments, and she's fine, but it was very difficult, obviously. The next day after that, I was in the hospital. And the next day after that, my wife was in the hospital. So much water, so much life overflowing. It hurts. We can't process it. We can't reconcile it. We can't wrap our minds around it. We can't control it. My cup overflowed, and the result was what I thought was a heart attack. I woke up and ran to the bathroom and was puking my guts out. I couldn't breathe. I couldn't catch my breath. My chest was caving in. I thought it was something to do with my back or my medications I was on. I couldn't wrap my head around it. And it was days later I realized that this was an anxiety attack. I checked off all the boxes of an acute anxiety episode. It was awful. I literally thought I was dying. And the reality of the situation was things were out of my control. Sometimes life spins and spirals. Sometimes life is beyond our control. Control was my small g god. The peace I tried to manufacture failed. I can't create peace all on my own. I mean, I'm ridiculously strong, but I'm not that strong. People, no matter how good you are, how hard you try, how much you pray, you will fall and you will fail. This is life. I heard it said a few weeks ago, we have to resign the fact that we are not the general manager of the universe. There are many aspects of this life that are out of our control. But it's okay. Brené Brown puts it this way. We often want God to be an epidural for our pain, but more often than not, he is the midwife saying, push, this is going to hurt. But we'll get through this together and birth something beautiful. We want a cure, a pill to take everything away. And more often than not, the peace of God that absolutely transcends our understanding is gained and lived through the process of walking life together and with the Lord God, our Savior. God's peace doesn't always fix our problems. It doesn't always cure our ailments, remove our anxiety, heal our addictions. But God's peace is always here, beside us, telling us about his love and forgiveness and sharing in his future. When we surrender, when we choose faith, we realize the idol of control, making ourselves God, is not the answer, and we receive perspective and peace from Almighty God. Don't make the same mistakes that I made. I am not God. I am not always in control. We need this faith. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Faith gives substance to our hopes and convinces us of the realities we do not see. I wish it were easier. But whoever said that life and faith were easy or should be easy? The most beautiful and profound things in this life are never easy. Why would faith be any different? This world is speeding up, and everything is at our fingertips, and it's shouting and it's yelling, more, 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 now, now, now. But it is all treble. It's all surface. It squeaks of consumerism, selfishness, greed, pollution. This system is a suicide machine, killing us, killing the planet, killing joy, killing hope, and I think we all know it deep down, if we're honest. This system is not going to fulfill us. It is not going to bring us peace. We live in a world at a point in time where it seems like a tinderbox soaked in gasoline next to a blowtorch. This is going to get a few minutes of a downer here, apologies, but it's because the Prince of Peace is good. North Korea arguably has nuclear technology. The President of the United States might not be perfect. Chemical weapons, wars, human trafficking, poverty, natural disasters. The world is catching fire with anxiety and doubt, starving for meaning and absolutely craving peace. We need peace. It's screaming, it's shouting, everything is all treble, it's so high-pitched. It's making us deaf, it's confusing us, it's giving us anxiety, doubt, fear, all of it. It's not the answer, and we all know it. And we're here this morning, and we're going to read the Bible and talk about a baby in a manger. The world says, why, and who cares? Some of you may be saying the same thing. I'll tell you why. It is a book that has been challenging this exact same system of greed and corruption since its beginning. We are going to read about culture, violence, greed, and everything everyone is dealing with right now. We already read a rant that is roughly 5,000 years old in Isaiah, and we can say with confidence that that is my hurt. That is my anxiety. Those are my fears, my pains. We can say, I long for purpose just like Isaiah prophesied. I long for hope and joy and peace. We are going to engage with something this morning that has been resonating with people for thousands of years, and it is deeply profound and deafening in truth. What it is a resounding note, a deep bass of God Almighty. In a world shrieking with treble, the Prince of Peace is the resounding bass note. Steady, kind. Have you ever been next to a speaker at a concert or next to a subwoofer that is so loud and so deep it shakes you to your core and you're immediately filled with fear? This is the bass note of God. This is the fear of God Almighty. It's here, waiting for us to listen. Waiting for us to shake off the rust and lead us to his peace. It is with this realization that we enter Luke chapter 2. Read along with me. Now, there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. you will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth and goodwill toward men." I love this passage. I love this passage. It's not just because Linus does a great reading of it in Charlie Brown, but that is one of the reasons. Eugene Peterson says that all theology is rooted in geography. So what was happening with the shepherds? What was happening in their culture? Let's not over-sanitize this story with our plays and productions, with our songs and candles. Let's learn, let's read, let's find out what was happening in this story. What makes the nativity shine so bright is the darkness in which we find it. This story also shines brightest in the darkest hours of our life. There were 400 years of silence after Malachi prophesied about the forthcoming justice in the arrival of the Messiah. 400 years of silence. People, there are no easy answers as to why God makes us wait. This painting behind me I've shown you before, it's a painting of Rembrandt. I wish that you could see it more. Heads up. Bass note. It's entitled "Landscape with the Rest on the Flight into Egypt." Here we find a story filled with anxiety, filled with turmoil, filled with fear. Mary and Joseph were Middle Eastern refugees fleeing terrorism. It's easier and more comfortable for us to say that the Bible and Jesus aren't political, but that would be wrong. John read a few weeks ago the genealogy found in Matthew chapter 1. It is immensely political, saying no to the status quo, turning our culture on its head and ushering in a new kingdom. The passage we read in Isaiah 9 verse 6 said the government would be upon his shoulders, and we see a revolution begin with the Prince of Peace. I often try to point to things to show my daughter. She's almost 6 months old, and I'll point at things, but she does not look at what I'm pointing at. She looks at my finger, and I guess my hands are fine, but I think, and I'm upset by this, but when we read Luke chapter 2, I think we might do the same. We look at the finger instead of what is being pointed to. In a press conference this week, someone of great power said that they were going to bring Christmas back bigger and better and greater than ever before. We forget that Christmas never left, and it's about littleness. God chose to enter this world as a poor, small, helpless refugee infant, the most vulnerable state imaginable. Christmas is about humility. God lowered himself, kenosis, emptied himself, that we find in Philippians chapter 2, to enter the human condition and to die for it, to die for us. Born in a barn, a refugee, helpless baby, save the world through sacrifice and love. Luke 2 mentions the manger three times. This is real life, purpose in the pain. This story is not only beautiful, it is relatable. But the manger is more than a metaphor. It was the signpost to the shepherds. The manger is not the story. The story is what the manger was holding. The Prince of Peace. The shepherds in Luke 2 were looking for a baby in a manger who descended from another shepherd, King David. brought in from the fields to be anointed king. They knew that story. But this was a new story. And the peace found in the manger was beyond anything King David did or anything they or us could manufacture on our own. Laying in the manger was the King of Kings, changing all of time. In this context, Augustus Caesar was the emperor of Rome, ruler of the known world. He was the adopted son of Julius Caesar and had won a bloody civil war that ended with the suicide of Mark Antony after the Battle of Actium in 31 BC. Augustus called himself the Son of God, and his message, called the Gospel, Euangelion, was said to bring justice and peace to the whole world. We've heard these terms before. Poets wrote songs about Caesar and his gospel, and he was called the savior of the world, the bringer of peace. But Caesar's and Augustus' peace were bought with war, death, and power. It is in this context we find a young couple traveling far by foot because of an ordered census. Joseph and a pregnant Mary return to the town of another shepherd, David. It is in this context we find a baby born in a barn. It is in this context we find the shepherds obediently choosing the Prince of Peace. In a world yelling more and more now, power, 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 they choose a baby in a manger. They chose surrender. Will we do the same? So when Jesus is born into this climate as a baby, who becomes the King of Kings, the Prince of Peace, by sacrifice and love instead of power, it is the absolute opposite of the gospel of his day, that of Augustus Caesar. Jesus ushered in a new world order. This gospel is the base note of God throughout eternity, birthed into a world screaming and screeching of treble. The gospel of Christ is not the gospel of Caesar. The gospel of Christ is not the gospel of the world. For some reason, we struggle to figure that out. The birth of a boy in a barn is the beginning of a confrontation between the kingdom of God in all its apparent weakness, insignificance, and vulnerability, and the kingdom of the world and its greed, power, and violence. The gospel of Jesus took the loaded military propaganda term of Caesar, Euangelion, gospel, and turned it on its head. The Jesus tradition is loaded, subversive, and dangerous. This is the heartbeat and inception of Christmas. This is Advent. This is the manger. This is peace. Caesar Augustus never heard of Jesus, but within a century, his successors had not only heard of him, they were desperately trying to quell a rebellion of love through violence. And within three centuries, the emperor himself, Constantine, became a Christian and birthed a new church. So when we see the manger, we see the explosive truth and peace of God's kingdom. Birthed in weakness to save all of history through love and sacrifice. When we see the manger, we see peace. Richard Rohr says, three images prove God's peace. The Savior in a manger, the cross, and the empty tomb. We need to remember all three. It is not only in trusting that Jesus' kingdom is true and relevant in all areas of our life that we will begin living with peace. Surrender is hard. It's so difficult. We think we are in control. We like to be our own God, but there is no peace in that paradigm. So what do we do? How can we receive peace? Two things that we can do. And we'll try and figure them out together as a community with one another. The first one is just that, to open ourselves up and receive it. Frederick Buchner puts it this way: the world is a manger where God is being born again and again and again. But you've got your mind on so many things, busy with this and that, you don't see it, you don't notice it, you're missing it. St. Augustus, another Augustus, puts it this way: God is always trying to hand us good things, but our hands are too full to receive them. Habitual distractions of mind are a part-time job for most of us, something which keeps us preoccupied away from the manger. This waste of energy halts transformation potential. Waiting is God's laboratory of transformation. Isaiah puts it this way: no eye has seen a God beside you who acts for those who wait for him. Micah puts it this way: but as for me, I will watch expectantly for the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. No one said this was going to be easy. We need to spend some time waiting, hitting the brakes, stop running, rushing, buying, working, doing, and sit in the presence of God. This isn't some new fancy idea. This is the original design. Sabbath, rest. We were created because we need time with God for mental health, for heart health, for spiritual health. But it takes discipline. The pain of discipline is usually intense but brief, but the pain of regret lasts the rest of our lives. I wish that weren't true. What separates excellence from ordinary is discipline. People, let's try some discipline. We're disciplined in so many areas of our lives. Let's try it with our faith, for goodness sakes. Let's try it together. Let's spend some time this week sitting, praying, listening, reading. There's no bad way to pray, and there is no one starting point. Just show up and show up regularly. Henry Nouwen says, silence and solitude is the furnace of transformation. If we have the courage and discipline and patience to spend that time in silence before God, I guarantee you we will get peace. It may not be the peace that we would manufacture on our own, but it is there waiting for us if we will surrender and slow down. Let's spend some time this week. Let's challenge ourselves, challenge me, let's challenge each other to hit the brakes and engage in this beautiful story of Christmas. Let's soak in God's peace. Let's soak in God's love and loyalty and let it fill us and fuel us. Allow God's peace, love, and acceptance, forgiveness, grace, and mercy to allow us to rest. The second thing we can do quickly is to give peace. As Bob Dylan sang, yes, how many times can a man turn his head and pretend that he just doesn't see? The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. Church, let's look around. The Prince of Peace is a whisper to the oppressed saying, you are seen, you are seen. And a cry in the streets says, justice does not give up. It is time for us to go to war as peacemakers, to wage heavy peace. The love of God compels us. Bring peace with you tomorrow. Peace is made manifest in our love of others, in our kindness, in our forgiveness, in our grace. People, let's bring peace with us this Christmas. The people who need The most love will ask for it in the most unloving ways. This is our challenge. Let's bring this peace with us. Let's manifest this peace of God in our kindness and forgiveness and love of others. We long for peace to overflow like a mighty river, but it often begins with a trickle. Be that trickle. Be a peacemaker. Seek justice. Love kindness. Walk humbly. Fraser and the worship team could come up. We're going to conclude this morning. I'd like to read you a scripture also found in Isaiah. It's Isaiah chapter 26. Our city is strong. We are surrounded by the walls of God's salvation. Open the gates to all those. Allow the faithful to enter. You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. Trust in the Lord always, for the Lord God is the eternal rock. We have to believe that the most significant opportunity before us every day is the opportunity to sit at the feet of Jesus. We have to believe that the most significant opportunity before us every day is the opportunity to sit at the feet of Jesus. It isn't to finish the to-do list. It isn't soccer practice. It isn't that next sale. It isn't that next paycheck. It's to sit and wait at the feet of Jesus. We're going to take a break here. And the tough question is, what do you need to surrender? In what area of your life are you pretending to be Almighty God? Control, control, control. This is hard. But when we have the courage to give these things over to God, we receive this peace. More often than not, we want God to be an epidural for our pain, but he is the midwife saying, push, this is going to hurt, but we're going to birth something beautiful. What do you need to give over to God? What are you holding back? What area of your life do you need to surrender to God? He is waiting for you to wait for him, to surrender, and we will receive his peace. Jesus said in John 14, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. The peace of God, the peace that Jesus leaves, isn't what the world gives. It is beyond anything we can imagine on our own. And it is beautiful, and we desperately need it. Let's spend some time this morning. Challenge each other, challenge us to have the courage to surrender these things.